blessings to you all and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is 1 Corinthians 6, 1 to 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 to 6. When one of you has a dispute with another believer, how dare you file a lawsuit and ask a secular court to decide the matter instead of taking it to other believers? Don't you realize that someday we believers will judge the world? And since you are going to judge the world, can't you decide even these little things among yourselves? Don't you realize that we will judge angels? So you should surely be able to resolve ordinary disputes in this life. If you have legal disputes about such matters, why go to outside judges who are not respected by the church? I'm saying this to shame you. Isn't there anyone in all the church who is wise enough to decide these issues? But instead, one believer sues another right in front of unbelievers. My theme for reflection is a question: courtroom or cross? Courtroom or cross? I once heard a friend say, only half jokingly, "I love the church. It is people I struggle with." Anyone who has spent time in a church community knows the sentiment. In fact, one theologian once quipped that the church would be perfect if it were not for all the humans. And yet, here we are, called not just to worship together, but to live together, love together, and most challenging of all, forgive together. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul walks into the middle of a church conflict so messy that believers are suing each other in public courts. Imagine the local news headlines: Christians battle it out in court over church problems. It is a spectacle. But Paul is not simply concerned with bad press. He is concerned with bad theology lived out in practice. His central message is sharp but loving. You are forgetting who you are. We are sins, Paul reminds the Corinthians, destined to judge the world and even angels. That is an astonishing claim. If we are meant to govern with Christ in the future, surely we can sort out our relational tensions today. The real scandal is not the dispute, it is the spiritual amnesia. When Christians drag each other to court, we broadcast to the world that the church cannot embody the reconciling grace it preaches. In our time, division has become a default setting. Whether over politics, personality, or pandemic protocols, Christians are fractured into camps with astonishing speed. But Paul offers a revolutionary alternative, not vindication but reconciliation, not retaliation but restoration. In his words, why not rather suffer wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? It is a shocking idea, especially in a world obsessed with personal rights. But that is exactly where the gospel cuts deepest. Philosopher and theologian N.T. Wright observes, the church is not just a collection of individuals who happen to have similar beliefs. It is a community shaped by the death and resurrection of Jesus, called to live in a radically new way. That new way looks like patience, humility, and the kind of grace that mirrors Christ's own sacrifice. Paul's appeal in this passage is not about courtrooms. It is about character. It is about growing up into the likeness of Christ, who was wronged beyond measure and yet opened not his mouth. It is about reflecting the gospel, not just in our songs, but in our everyday dispute. The question Paul poses is this: do we believe in the power of the cross enough to lay down our pride and pursue peace, even at personal cost? This does not mean justice does not matter. It means we pursue it differently. Within the church, we are called to be peacemakers, not partisans, ministers of reconciliation, not litigators of self-interest. And if we are truly remembering who we are, washed, sanctified, and justified in Christ, then even our most painful conflicts become opportunities to showcase the power of grace. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, is there someone in your life, especially within the church, with whom you have allowed division to grow unchecked? What step can you take toward reconciliation? Number two, how might your response to conflict look different if you remembered your identity as a co-heir with Christ and a temple of the Holy Spirit? And now our practical exercise. Reach out today to someone you have avoided due to a past disagreement, however small. Even if it feels awkward, express a desire for peace. You don't need to resolve or to solve everything in one conversation, but sow the first seed of grace. Gracious Lord, you have reconciled us to yourself through Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. Forgive us when we forget who we are, when pride replaces peace and conflict overshadows compassion. Help us to reflect the humility of Jesus in every relationship, especially those that test our love. Empower us by your Spirit to pursue peace, seek forgiveness, and embody the unity that the gospel demands. Make us a people marked not by conflict, but by Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all.